Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 82 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Courtney Howe.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
We've got to have the roads to get there. We've got to have the technology to get there. And once we get that, the people there will do the job.
The chairman of the state's Economic Development Partnership Board says there are serious economic problems in eastern Kentucky.
The city of Moorhead is looking to buy new property.
A wireless solutions company could be opening in Moorhead soon.
In sports, the high school football season kicks off tonight.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Mostly cloudy skies tonight, some isolated showers. We'll take a closer look at your weather after this news.
The Moorhead News is reporting that a 44-year-old Moorhead man has been sentenced in federal court for having sexual contact with a minor and recording it on his cell phone. Michael Rose was sentenced this week in U.S. District Court in Ashland by Judge David Bunning. Rose pleaded guilty in April to concerning a child under the age of 12 to participate in the act. Prosecutors say the encounter took place in Round County.
A man in Scioto County who had evaded authorities for 3 years has been sentenced. WSAZ reports 43-year-old Michael Ross of Columbus received a 30-year sentence in Scioto County Common Pleas Court on Wednesday. Ross pled guilty in March of 2013 after police found bath salts at his business, Judah's Jams, in Portsmouth. He'd also been selling counterfeit clothing, music, and DVDs. Ross reached a plea deal on a 10-year sentence, but postponed Ross's sentence hearing so he could attend his son's birthday party. That's when he went missing until being apprehended by authorities in Cuyahoga County, Ohio. He's been convicted for using a false identity there. Ross is also facing an additional 18 months to his sentence in Scioto County for failing to appear at his sentencing hearing.
A 38-year-old Southern Ohio man was arraigned today in Lawrence County Municipal Court in connection with a bank robbery in South Point 2 months ago. According to the Ironton Tribune, Michael Krager is accused of robbing West Banco in Sauda Street on June 23rd. Krager is also charged with holding up the PNC Bank in Ironton Tuesday. Police say he was arrested Wednesday without an incident at the Ironton residence.
The city of Moorhead is in the process of buying some property near the park. MSPR's Samantha Morrill reports.
During a special meeting of the Moorhead City Council Monday, Mayor Jim Tom Trent was given authorization to move forward with purchasing the North Family property located between City Hall and the Little League baseball field in the city park. According to the Moorhead News, the city has agreed to purchase the property for $300,000. City Council does not have any immediate plans for the property. Mayor Trent says the opportunity arose and the timing was right to buy the property for future use. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Samantha Morrill.
State officials say Kentucky's unemployment rate dropped to 4.9% last month, matching the national jobless rate. The State Office of Employment and Training says July's seasonally adjusted rate was down from a revised 5% in June. Last month's preliminary rate was down from 5.3% statewide rate in July 2015. An economist with the agency says the last time Kentucky's unemployment rate dipped below 5% was in May 2001. The agency says Kentucky's manufacturing sector jumped by 23,000 jobs in July compared to the prior month. Since July 2015, employment in manufacturing has increased by 4,300. The financial activity sector also showed strong growth, expanding by 1,700 jobs in July from a month ago. The sector has added 4,500 jobs since last July.
The long-anticipated opening of a wireless solutions company in Moorhead should happen soon. That's according to Mayor Jim Tom Trent. Trent says Regent Corporation officials have told them they should complete renovations of their building on the city's east side soon and start operations there around the 1st of September. Trent notes that Regent already has a group of people lined up to become part of its initial batch of hirees for that office.
They took 6 MSU students who are space science oriented or in that degree program, took them to Malvern, which is a suburb of Philadelphia, and kept them there, paid for everything. They taught them how to build their equipment, taught them how to repair their equipment, and now they're bringing them back and they're hiring those individuals. They'll be hired to full-time jobs this fall.
Ragin also has plans to work with Morehead State University's Space Science Center on various projects. The company is investing $762,000 in its Morehead operations and is expected to hire 28 employees.
The acting secretary of Kentucky's Cabinet for Economic Development has told state lawmakers that commercial air service in Kentucky is a problem that has to be fixed. Eric Dunnigan made the observation Thursday to the General Assembly's Interim Joint Committee on Economic Development and Tourism.
We were blessed to have CVG when Delta was there. When Delta pulled out, we got hurt. We're starting to see some of the negative impacts as it relates to that commercial air service, so we're trying to focus on that. Recently, we had a success in Louisville. A smaller company called OneJet has decided to put service, direct air service, into Louisville. It's a different model that'll disrupt the current type of travel you see for commercial air service.
Dunnigan says Kentucky needs to capitalize on opportunities for more traffic and invest in its airports.
A Breathitt County native who chairs the State Economic Development Partnership Board says significant but not insurmountable challenges confront many communities in eastern Kentucky. Luther Deaton is president of Central Bank and Trust Company.
They're in real serious trouble. And when I go up there, it breaks my heart. In my hometown, there used to be three or four grocery stores. They used to be all kinds of hardware stores. They're nothing now. There's a lot of drugs. But East Kentucky can be turned around. But we've got to have the infrastructure.
Deaton says the infrastructure includes roads, technology, and a good education. He says education will help everything else fall in line.
The current head of the Morehead Round County Economic Development Council plans to help his successor transition into that job. The EDC's search committee interviewed three candidates this week for the executive director's post. Board member Terry Esner has been filling in on that interim basis since Brett Travers' resignation in July 2014. Esner believes the council's next executive director will be taking things over at a good time.
A lot of activity going on, and activity is always a good thing in this business. You'll have a lot of lull time where there's a lot of unknowns and a lot of searching as to what you need to do next. But with all this activity going on, that just kind of creates more activity, and I think it is a good time for them.
The Morehead Rowan EDC is currently involved in a couple projects involving the Rowan campus of Maysville Community and Technical College, along with trying to hook into the state's new $100 million work-ready skills initiative. The search committee hopes to make an offer to a finalist for the executive director's job by September 1st.
A screening committee for the Lewis County School System is narrowing down its list of candidates for the district's superintendent's post. Donald Pace is holding down the job until a permanent replacement for Belinda Foreman can be hired. Foreman resigned at the end of June. According to Pace, the search panel met last night to begin discussions about whittling down the list of candidates for the superintendent's position.
The six members were asked to evaluate the 16 candidates, to evaluate the 16 applicants, and to come up with their five best for the position.
The group meets again next Thursday. They'll present their five finalists to the Lewis School Board on September 12th. Pace says a new superintendent should be hired by the end of next month.
A study has revealed that 70% of Kentucky students fall into categories that make up the achievement gap. Pritchard Committee Executive Director Bridget Ramsey says low-income English second language and Hispanic or Latino are just a few of these examples. According to Ramsey, only improved outcomes for all students can assure high quality of life.
Increasingly, individuals need a high level of training to access jobs in the workforce. And without that, our communities continue to cycle through poverty, and that diminishes the quality of life in communities all across the state.
Ramsey adds that a major priority for the Pritchard Committee in the future will be educating people about the achievement gap and lack of progress.
Officials in the Greenup County school system are reviewing some possible safety improvements. MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler has the story.
According to the Daily Independent, the district wants to install new security systems. Chief Information Officer Tony Carr says the cameras would replace an outmoded system and provide more coverage of the schools and their grounds. The Greenup County Board of Education reviewed bids for the system on Thursday. However, they haven't chosen a contractor and probably won't until their September 26th meeting. Final cost of the new system hasn't been worked out yet, but Superintendent Sherry Horsley says they want to keep it under $300,000. If the board chooses a system in September, installation could start in October and be finished by February. Reporting from Ward State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
The lawmaker representing the former commissioner of the State Alcoholic Beverage Commission says his client wasn't given a reason for his dismissal. Louisville attorney Keith Handmaker told the Lexington Herald Leader that Stephen Edwards was fired on August 5th and has received no explanation as to why. Governor Matt Bevin filed an executive order Monday to remove Edwards from his post, saying he had lost confidence in his ability to lead. Bevin referred to matters being brought to his attention but did not elaborate. Before Edwards was commissioner, he served on the ABC board and was the distilled spirits administrator. He is also the former division of chief for claims at Fort Knox. Edwards served in an appointed position that paid him $1,000 annually.
Kentucky Agriculture Commissioner has some advice for Donald Trump. Paul Miles reports.
Commissioner Quarles was named an agriculture advisor to the Trump campaign.
And it's a really very real possibility that there'll never be an agriculture question asked at the presidential debates. And so I'm just glad that the Trump campaign is actually soliciting input.
Quarles' message to Trump, farmers want to be left alone. He says there's excessive regulation of the agriculture industry by the Obama administration. I'm Paul Miles.
Governor Matt Bevin says new volunteering requirements included in his Medicaid waiver will foster more community involvement. But the head of the Lexington-based Kentucky Nonprofit Network says many of the group's 600-member organizations have expressed reservations about the plan. Network Director Danielle Clore says volunteers are an invaluable resource for nonprofits, but getting them on board isn't always as simple as it sounds.
It is our hope that the administration sees these as positive developments that they can use feedback on to strengthen their proposal.
That's not to mention rural nonprofits that may find themselves overwhelmed by the demand. While Clore's group is refraining from taking a formal position on the waiver, she says the network wants to contribute to making the program work for all Kentuckians.
There are those costs of both people and time and training. Many organizations that work with vulnerable populations, children, the elderly, etc., are also required to do background checks.
Bevin Chief of Staff Adam Meir tells the Lexington Herald Leader that the administration isn't staking out any new ground with the volunteer provisions, pointing out that some Kentucky high schools and county food stamp programs have similar requirements. The administration is currently reviewing public comments on their waiver and crafting a revised proposal to submit to the federal government.
Only half a dozen locally transmitted Zika cases have been confirmed inside the continental United States, but Kentucky health officials are planning ahead should an outbreak occur in the Commonwealth. In addition to Zika toolkits administered to local health departments, public education efforts, and the training of 50 new pesticide operators, the State Agriculture Department has also agreed to share resources with the Department for Public Health if the mosquito-driven virus begins circulating. David Wayne updated lawmakers on the Agricultural Department's plan to target potential problem sites.
We're working on tracking our complaints so that we can better identify repeat complaint areas and identify heavy breeding sites for mosquitoes, so maybe in the future we can provide a specific control effort in those areas.
Health officials have identified 18 cases of Zika in Kentucky, all associated with travel outside the state.
The Kentucky State Fair is underway with the smell of goat bacon and lamb sausage in the air. Here's KNN's Paul Miles.
The Kentucky Commodity Breakfast marks the opening of the fair's 11-day run. Governor Bevin joining hundreds of others in eating Kentucky proud food.
Kentuckians should come to this event because why would you not want to come out and celebrate everything from rides to the barns, the animals? Last year I ate a bacon-wrapped Oreo cookie.
Gates open at 7 a.m. daily. Admission is $10. I'm Paul Miles.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, mostly cloudy, isolated showers in the evening, some patchy valley fog, lows will be in the upper 60s, and that chance of rain is at 20%. Your Saturday will be cloudy, patchy valley fog early. There's a 60% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms throughout the day. Highs will be in the lower 80s. Saturday night will be cloudy, 70% chance of numerous showers and thunderstorms. Lows will be in the upper 60s. And Sunday will be mostly sunny, scattered showers, and a slight chance of thunderstorms. Highs in the upper 70s. The chance of rain is at 40%. It is currently 85 degrees in Ashland, 82 degrees in Flemingsburg and Inez and Lexington. It's 81 degrees in Winchester, and what do you know, it's 82 degrees here in Moorhead.
The time is 4:45. You're tuned in to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio, and we're glad you're with us on this Friday evening. Stay tuned at 5 for an all-new All Things Considered. On our feature segment this afternoon, we have commentary from Moorhead State University Professor John Modath. He sympathizes, sort of, with the outrage over the recent hacking of congresspersons.
There was more than just a little pleasure to be enjoyed at the news that someone had hacked the phones and computers of key congresspersons, including former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Ms. Pelosi, along with others in that august body, need a reminder of what it's like to be sick and disgusted by such malice in communication. That's what the former speaker said about calls she'd been getting since her phone number went public. Sick and disgusting. Before it went public, I'm sure she only got calls from upstanding people who never said anything sick or disgusting. Or did they? Let's reflect. One need not look too long or too hard to find the actions of Congress, both parties, sick and disgusting. And again, this goes for both parties, since both have proven that when they want, really want, to stop the actions of the opposing party, they surely can. One sick and disgusting action of Congress within recent memory has been the complete lack of serious prosecution of the persons who facilitated and then lied about what the Internal Revenue Service was doing to stymie applications for conservative, nonprofit political organizations. Continuing to this day, no one bothers denying the singling out of religious and conservative groups for maltreatment. What Congress is denying is their own obligation to act. Now that's sick. That's disgusting. Another sick and disgusting action by congressional leaders is and was their continual open lying about the significance of so-called government shutdowns. During the last non-shutdown shutdown, over 80% of the federal government remained operational. But to hear the leaders in their sick and disgusting speeches during and after it, this non-shutdown shutdown crippled the nation, led to premature deaths, and reduced concessions near certain monuments that had been handpicked for closing to annoy tourists. And on, monetizing the debt, raiding Social Security, collecting historic levels of taxes while forcing historic levels of deficit and debt, scavenging the military, turning it into a social engineering experiment, witnessing and even encouraging continual violation of federal immigration laws. The list really is endless, and it is sick, and it is disgusting. So, Nancy, for you, for every poor hacking victim in Congress, you will finally get a taste of how sick and disgusted we are with you, with all of you, regardless of party. And anyway, what are you bothered by, after all, to echo the rationale for out-of-control national security surveillance? Why would you care about being hacked if you weren't doing anything wrong?
Hell, you crazy.
I'm John Modath.
Dr. John Modath is a professor of speech at Moorhead State University. MSPR's Braxton Howard has been keeping an eye on your sports world. He's up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowland County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, open 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays and near the Moorhead City Park. The Rowland County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud with homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program, WIC, and senior checks accepted. More information at 784-5457. The Rowland County Farmers Market is a certified Kentucky Proud Market.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Kentucky's new high school football season kicks off tonight with games taking place all across the region. In one key contest, after going 9-3 a year ago, West Carter opens with Raceland at home. Coach Kevin Brown is anxious to see how the Comets fare against the Rams.
We know it's early in the year and things. You know, we want to step up and play well and against a traditional power like Raceland and, have a little measuring stick there for us.
Up in Vanceburg, Lewis County faces Greenup County. Coach Josh Hughes admits a good start to the year could be critical for his reloaded Lions.
You can get a few surprise successes,
that confidence, I think, can really roll over and keep going. And we've had that happen a few seasons ago. We had a season where we didn't expect to win more than two games, and we ended up getting a playoff berth.
Other games tonight, Fairview travels to Bath, Lawrence visits Boyd, Fleming entertains Estill, Sheldon Clark is at Paintsville, and Mason hosts Somerset. The Round County football team's 2016 campaign doesn't start until tomorrow night when the Vikings travel to Clay County. First-year coach Gene Peterson says Round will hang its hat this season on a ground-and-pound flexbone offense.
We don't have the one great dominant runner yet. Hopefully that person will rise, you know, as the season goes on. But our offense will make it kind of unpredictable for a lot of teams because they really don't know who's going to be carrying the football.
Round County is looking to build on last year's 5-6 finish. Clay County went 2-9, including a 29-point loss to the Vikings in Moorhead. Moorhead State football coach Rob Tenure continues to retool the Eagles' defense. According to Tenure, he's still looking to fill the holes left at defensive tackle by the graduation losses of Rob Lewis, Ronald Cooper, and some other key guys.
You know, we lost three, four guys at graduation there, and we've got some really good bodies back, returning players, you know, R.T. Sutherland, Jeff Jones, Patrick Rice, you know, and of course you got Dustin Casey and Colt Briggs, who I think are all conference type players. But we've got some younger guys that we're looking at and evaluating there, and we very possibly could have better depth there than we ever have.
The MSU football team will hold its second preseason scrimmage this weekend. Coming off of an 8-5 year last year, hopes are high for the University of Louisville's football team this season. Head coach Bobby Petrino thinks his team will put a lot of points up this year, in part of because of the level of experience his team has.
We're having fun on offense right now. You know, we got a group back that understands the scheme. They understand the plays. Last year at this time, we'd break the huddle, and some guys were trying to think, what's that play? What is that?
The Cardinals open the season at home against Charlotte on September the 1st. Some notes from around the NFL. The Houston Texans are still unsure if defensive end J.J. Watt will play in the first two regular season games. And Pittsburgh Steelers star running back Le'Veon Bell's suspension for missing a drug test has been reduced from four games down to three. The United States men's basketball team has advanced to the gold medal game after defeating Spain 82-76 earlier today. Klay Thompson led the way for the Americans with 22 points. The U.S. team will face the winner of Australia and Serbia on Sunday at 2:30 for the gold medal. The United States leads the Olympic medal count with 103 total medals. The NBA has chosen a new city to serve as host to its 2017 All-Star Game. AP correspondent Jack Briggs reports.
The National Basketball Association has decided to hold the 2017 All-Star Game in New Orleans. The city replaces Charlotte, which was set to host the game until the NBA decided last month that it wouldn't hold its marquee mid-season event in North Carolina because of a state law that limits anti-discrimination protections for lesbian, gay, and transgender people. This marks the third time the Crescent City has been awarded the game. This is Jack Briggs.
The Cincinnati Reds host the Los Angeles Dodgers tonight at Great American Ballpark. They won their second straight series last night after defeating Miami 5-4. Ramon Cabrera helped Dan Straley get his 10th win of the season by knocking his second career home run in the second inning. Manager Brian Price says that's what carried his club through the game.
Brandon hits the first pitch of the inning for a base hit. Schebler hammers one through the right side, and it gets to Ramon, and he gets a slider that breaks down and in, and he cleans it out for a three-run homer, and it set a tone for us to get ahead of, you know, one of the better pitchers in the game early at our ballpark against one of our better starters. So it set up a really good situation for us.
1-1, Tim Adamon will pitch tonight for the Reds. The Dodgers will go with 6-9, Bud Norris. First pitch is set for 7:10. The Lexington Legends will host Hagerstown tonight at Whittaker Bank Ballpark. 1-4, Julio Pinto will take the mound for the Lexington Club. First pitch in that one is at 7:05. And finally in sports, the 2016 season opens tonight for the Moorhead State soccer team. The Eagles will visit Big Ten foe Illinois at 8 o'clock. Coach Warren Lipka, though, isn't focused on how the Fighting Illini will attack MSU.
You know, this first game is we're more concerned with what we can do and what we're going to need to do to slow them down.
The Eagles finished last season at 9-11-2 and are picked to finish 6th this fall in the OVC. That's it for sports for Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Moorhead State soccer and volleyball season tickets are now available. Soccer begins its season by hosting Evansville on September 2nd, and volleyball hosts Wright State on September 6th. tickets from the MSP from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed lower, with utilities dropping more than 1% as investors digested hawkish rhetoric from Federal Reserve officials and kept an eye on oil prices. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 45.13 at 18,552.57. The S&P 500 was down 3.15 at 2183.87. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 1.77 at 5238.38. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 17-11 in favor of losing stocks over winners. San Francisco Fed President John Williams signaled support for a rate hike in the near future. In a speech, he said that in the context of a strong domestic economy with good momentum, it makes sense to get back to a pace of gradual rate increases, preferably sooner rather than later. And Williams' speech was just the latest piece of hawkish rhetoric from top Fed officials. Earlier this week, New York and Atlanta Fed Presidents William Dudley and Dennis Lockhart said a September rate hike may be on the table. Meanwhile, U.S. crude oil settled about 0.625% higher at $48.52 a barrel, posting strong weekly gains. Weekly rig count data from Baker Hughes showed 10 rigs came online for the latest week. Overseas, European stocks mostly fell, with the Stock 600 index down about 0.8%. In Asia, stocks rose modestly, but the Nikkei 225 recorded a weekly loss of 2.2%. Gold futures for December delivery settled $11 lower at $1,346.20 an ounce. And among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Nike and Intel, and your worst performers were Walmart and McDonald's. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Deere and Foot Locker, and the worst performers were DaVita Healthcare and Southwestern Energy. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up 38 cents at $115.97, CSX unchanged at $28.67, AEP down $1.03 at $66.38, Marathon Petroleum down 48 cents at $42.01, AK Steel down 50 cents at $4.67, and Kroger was up 15 cents to finish at $32.60. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking one last look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight. Mostly cloudy skies. There's a 20% chance of isolated showers this evening. Lows will be in the upper 60s. Expect some patchy fog that will linger with us until Saturday morning. Cloudy skies on Saturday. There's a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs will be in the lower 80s. Your Saturday night will be cloudy. 70% chance of showers and scattered thunderstorms. Lows will be in the upper 60s. Your Sunday will be mostly sunny. There's a 40% chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms in the morning. Highs will be in the upper 70s. And Sunday night will be mostly clear. Patchy valley fog late. And temperatures will be in the upper 50s. Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it is 85 degrees in Ashland. In Flemingsburg, Inez, and Lexington, it is sitting at 82 degrees. In Winchester, it's 81. And here on the campus of MSPR, it's 82 degrees.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Tanner Boyd, Dan Conti, Samantha Morrill, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, and Kyle Blankenbuehler. From the Kentucky News Network, Paul Miles, and on our feature segment, MSU Professor John Modaff. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Courtney Howell for Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.